Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll begin reading at verse 7. Take your Bibles now and let us stand and we'll read from verse 7 through verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 1. And it says that the trial of your faith, you know, it doesn't tell you how long that trial will be, does it? You know, we would like that trial to be a couple of hours. You know, we live in a society where TV programs are a half hour or an hour or 2 hours. Or then maybe there's the mini series. But the fact of the matter is trials can go on for days or weeks, months, maybe even years. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you, reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now, verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this thought that our trials are precious, that our faith will reward us with salvation, that the prophets and the angels both wanted to know about this coming Messiah, and that, Lord, we are to gird up the loins of our mind. Give us the ability, Lord, this day to be here with a peaceful thought, asking that the Holy Spirit would move and touch hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. As you turn to Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse 9, I'll reread verse 13 of our opening reading. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And now the author of Hebrews writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Ooh, that doesn't sound good. For the time ye ought to be teachers, we have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The author of Hebrews is saying that we that have been under the word of this gospel message should be able to teach others the word of God. But unfortunately, he says that too many are dull of hearing and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Unskillful in the word of righteousness. 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." To gird up means to brace, to fortify, to prepare, to make ready for battle, to strengthen, to support. Too many of us have our spiritual walls falling down because they are not girded. It tells us to be sober, to be serious, to be restrained and be on guard. Yes, we all want to have fun, but remember, we are in a battle. We are in a spiritual battle, and it is going on. And may I say this, it's going on right now in this room. Because some of you right now have decisions to be made about things in your life, and you better be careful. Because there are things that are drawing you in the wrong direction. And you need to be serious about it, and you need to be restrained and be on guard. And hope to the end that is to be brought unto you. That hope, do you look forward to seeing Jesus Christ as your Savior? I mean, to see Him, not just to talk about Him or to sing about Him or to ponder about Him, but to actually see Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Have you ever pondered how long you're going to lay at His feet? Weeping? You know, the Bible says that He's going to wipe away our tears. There's a reason there are going to be tears in heaven. That's for tonight, not for today's message, but there's going to be a reason there are tears there. And they're not all going to be happy tears. Folks, are we on the milk of the word, or are we able to eat some meat? Have we girded up our minds? Are we sober? And are we hoping for the right thing? Quickly to the book of Genesis chapter 6. The book of Genesis chapter 6. Those that were with us on Wednesday night, you had a lesson that was very close to what we're talking about today. And I didn't want to overdo what I did Wednesday because I knew I'd be preaching this on Sunday. But may I say this, that Jesus said that His return will be something like the days of Noah. And I believe that we are living in a time much like Noah lived. It's been about 1,600 years since Adam and Eve have been created. And man has totally fallen away from the teachings of the Lord. Beginning in verse 5, Genesis chapter 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. I wonder how it compared to the wickedness of today's society. Now, I believe that there were millions of people that were living at the time of the flood. Some commentators believe there could have been a billion people. You say, well, Pastor Paul, how could that be? Well, they were living to be 800 and 900 years old. That they didn't have all the diseases that we have today. Oh, there was sickness and there was death, but not like today. And we find that they were wicked. Notice in verse 5 it continues, and that every imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. Let me ask you this. Do you think that the Lord sent the flood because of shoplifting? I don't think so. Do you think it was because people lied? People lie today, don't they? Well, except people in this room. You've never lied, have you? Do you think that he sent it because people cheated on their exams in the eighth grade? No. I think he sent it for two different reasons. Idolatry and immorality. God hates the sin of immorality. Because do you remember when Jesus was the groom? Who was the bride? The church. Do you see the union there, the picture there of Christ, the groom, and the church, the bride? We as the church must be chaste. We must be pure. What does he expect about the relationship between one man and one woman? Marriage. One man and one woman. Today, society has twisted it. Who's behind that? Satan's behind it. Satan's desire is that we live immoral lives. Satan's desire is that we are idolaters. And I believe that's why the flood came. And I believe that's why we can expect judgment soon. Because of our evil ways. Verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Aren't you glad it doesn't end there? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. It was a dark and dismal time for mankind. And it grieved God that he had made man. Why did it grieve God that he had made man? Because they were sinners. And they needed a Savior. And who would have to be that Savior? God would have to be the Savior. Part of God would come and die for us. And it grieved him. God had made a commitment to Adam and Eve that a Savior would come and bruise the heel of the serpent, or head of the serpent. And some 2,500 years later, Jesus Christ would be born. Point number one, there was a divine verdict. A divine verdict. And God said, the end of all flesh has come before me. He had saw the wickedness, and it was great in the earth. For as we know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We must please him with our spiritual walk. Then there is a divine plan. The verdict was that the flesh would be destroyed, but there's a divine plan. Make thee an ark. A merciful God provided the idea behind the building of an ark for the saving of Noah and his family. We find that Noah is listed in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith chapter. And in verse 7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now you ponder this. Some say that Noah may have been one of the greatest men that ever walked planet Earth. Now you ponder this. It has never rained. The ground is watered by the dew. And he is told to build not a boat that is something that goes on a lake. We're talking about an ark that is between 450 and 510 feet long. From the front of the sign out here in the front of the church building to the back of the parking lot. I mean, he didn't build something as big as this auditorium. He built something a lot bigger. It took him over 100 years. And who knows how many people had to help him. He showed great faith. And he followed the divine plan. There was a divine warning, verse 17 tells us, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. This was the warning that if you're not in the ark, you're going to die, unless you're the fish or the whales. Would a loving God truly kill all of mankind? A just God would. Because a just God hates what? Sin. But a loving God provided an ark. A loving God had the message come into the ark. The ark is bigger than what Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives needed. It was mammoth. It was hope that there would be others that would come into the ark with Noah. There was a warning. And they ignored the warning. Those that heard the message and ignored it or scorned it or refused it would all suffer the wrath of God. They would all die in the flood. Now, I'll tell you this, folks. I have a lot to preach, and so I can't wander around a whole lot. But when I die, I don't want to drown. I can't think of a worse way to die. You agree with me? No, there's someone right here. Fire. Fire's not a good thing either, but you can die pretty quickly in a fire. The smoke will get you. Well, we're not going to argue about it right here. Let me say this, Sharon. I don't want to burn either. And I don't want to starve to death. Where was I? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The same with today's society, those that refuse to heed the warnings of the messengers of the good news of the gospel will suffer the wrath of God. Number four, there's the divine invitation. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. The invitation to come to the Lord is throughout the Bible. From the book of Genesis to the end of Revelation, there is the invitation to come. Matthew 21, 2 and 3. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that are bidden to the wedding. And they would not come. Why wouldn't they come? I've looked in a number of books and gotten different thoughts, and there are those who think they wouldn't come because of possessions. They didn't want to leave their houses and maybe chariots and their animals or whatever they had. They didn't think they could take their possessions with them. And so they said, no, we're more comfortable here. There were those who were afraid of ridicule. Now, I want you to ponder this. The door would not have been on the bottom or probably even the second floor. The door probably was on the top floor, the door into the ark. And so there would have been a long ark ramp that would lead from the ground to the door. Now, can you see someone saying, all right, I believe Noah. He's a really good guy, and he has done this for 100+ years. He must be serious. And he turns to his wife, and he says, we're going. And he grabs his wife and the children, and they begin up the ramp. And people that aren't on the ramp begin jeering at them, laughing at them, calling out to them and saying, are you really that stupid? And they turned around and came back down the ramp. The loss of possessions, the ridicule, the false teachings of religion. There were other teachings of religion at that time. Satan always has his religions. There are more religions out there than there is the one true faith. And they didn't come. And then there were those who were undecisive. One day they wanted to go and one day they didn't. One day they said, you know, we really should. And the next day they said, well, no, I'm planning to cook hamburgers. We'll go later. But then the Lord shut the door. Because we find divine security. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded, and the Lord shut him in. Security. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. One must enter in at the door. One must be willing to come in. We are kept by the power of God, and we are comforted by the Holy Spirit. There is divine security. There is divine care. It says in chapter 8 that God remembered Noah. Not that I think he ever forgot Noah, but he remembered Noah and Mrs. Noah and Ham, Shem, and Japheth and each of their wives and even all the animals that were on the ark. And yes, I believe dinosaurs were on the ark. You say, well, why did they die out? Simply, I think they just could not survive. So, remember this, that sometimes we are put into a place of rest, but then we will come out and be used of the Lord. And then there's the divine commission. Go forth of the ark. There's always the two together, come so you can go. We're to come to the Lord so that we can go out and tell others. So we are to come to the Lord so that we can go out. April 14th, 1912. There's probably not a person in this room that hasn't heard the story of the Titanic. You know, the Titanic had many warnings that there was ice. A number of ships that were also in that shipping lane told the Titanic of icebergs and ice fields. In fact, the Californian sent them this warning, "We are stopped and surrounded by ice." To which the Titanic's reply was, shut up, I am busy. You know, so often we hear the story and we think, oh, it was by misfortune that they were hit by an iceberg. They were warned. They were rewarned over and over and over again. And their reply was simply, we are too busy. If you would, chapter 5, verse 30. Chapter 5, verse 30. I had never pondered this until I was preparing for the lesson on Wednesday. And it says, and Lamech. Now, do you remember who Lamech is? Lamech is Noah's dad. Okay? And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 590 in 5 years. Wow, that's a long time to live. But 590 in 5 years, and Lamech begat what? Sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. You ever pondered that verse? Who went on the ark? Noah and his wife and his three sons and his three daughter-in-laws. What happened to his brothers and sisters? They didn't go on the ark. They did not go on the ark. Can you imagine Noah is at the door of the ark and he is begging people to come in? He believes that there is a coming flood. Nothing they've ever seen before. And he is begging them, come. And maybe they're outside on the ground and maybe they're having a picnic. Or maybe they're part of those who were gambling as to how long Noah will be in the ark before his family comes out. Maybe they're not even there. Where are the parents of the three wives of Noah's sons? Where are they? Have they begged their daughters not to go up into the boat? You're embarrassing us. You know, everybody here thinks Noah's a jerk. I mean, listen to what they talk about him. Did you read about him the other day in the newspaper? They think he probably has enough food on there to survive for a year. What's going to happen to you after a year? You're going to come out and people are going to think you're a nut. Do people think you're a nut when you serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Many times. So do you think there were some tears shed when the water began to hit the boat, the ark, and it began to rain? I think there were a lot of tears shed. Uncles, aunts, cousins, nephews, nieces, parents, siblings. They all were outside. Folks, it should scare us to think that family members will be going to hell. Right now, the door is open. Maybe you read it in the local newspaper of the woman going westbound on Utica Road. I believe she was 20 or maybe 22. She had two 14-year-old passengers. She tried to beat a car. Got into the gravel over off Utica Road. Car went sideways. Went and hit a van. Occupants of the van were from Kendall, Michigan. I don't even know where Kendall, Michigan is. She was dead within an hour of the accident. We don't know how long we have. We must be prepared. The Lord says, come. I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Have you entered the door? And if you've entered the door, Are you beckoning others to the door? Shall we stand together? 401 is our song of invitation. You can come and pray here by yourself at the altar, or maybe you would like someone to pray with you. Let it be known. Come and pray and get things right with the Lord. We'd be glad to show you the way of salvation. We'd love to make sure that you get things right before you leave the auditorium. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the thoughts that we've been able to see today. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for a way of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.